Welcome to Between Two Printers, a podcast where we will discuss all things 3D printing and O&P. I'm your host, Jeff, and I've been with Vorm for the past 19 years, and recently my role has been increasingly revolving around 3D printing. So we decided to create a podcast to discuss and share some of the learnings we've had along this journey. Hello again. Welcome to another episode of Between Two Printers. I'm joined again by Chris Hanford. Chris, tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. For people who haven't tuned in for previous podcasts, I am currently product manager with Vorm. I started in 2002 and worked in various roles through training and support and also customer success. So happy to be joining you today.
Great. What did you want to talk about today?
Yeah, I think I'd like to talk about just the comparison of the 3D printing for definitive devices to some of the other more traditional techniques. I think there's a lot of confusion out there, especially around definitives. People can grasp the notion of printing a check socket, but maybe can't wrap their head around a patient walking home with a 3D printed socket.
Okay, so the first question I have, what do you mean by conventional fabrication? Are we talking hand grinding out the inside of a block of wood for a prosthetic socket, thermoforming plastic over a plaster mold, carbon fiber layup on a plaster mold, thermoforming plastic over a carved foam model? Am I being facetious? Yeah, obviously. Yeah. The reason I ask, though, is to put things in context that fabrication techniques everywhere, O&P included, are in a constant state of flux.
Okay. So what do we talk about and how do we compare?
So I guess, you know, for the sake of establishing some goalposts, let's consider three fabrication techniques. Thermoforming plastic over plaster, assuming a casted impression. Thermoforming plastic over a carved foam model, assuming a scanned model. And 3D printing.
Okay. So let's start with that first one. So what about thermoforming over plaster and some of the pros and cons of that?
Yeah, certainly thermoforming over plaster. I mean, it's reliable, low tech. People have been doing this for a long time, and we know that it works. The other benefit, and this is an ongoing thing that we still, you know, talk about a fair bit, is it does allow you the ability to apply pressure and correction during casting. That's something that's less easy to do with scanning directly anyways. But I mean, cons? For any place that's been around for a long time and sees the same patients over and over, keeping records takes up loads of space. And by that, I mean the plaster models. I've been in facilities that have, you know, hundreds or thousands of plaster models sitting around. And I mean, that's just not practical. It takes forever to find. They take up a lot of space. And space is at a premium in some places. Other cons of, you know, working on the plaster side of things like bending and shifting, need to be approximated as compared with CAD tools. So what I mean there is if you take a cast for an AFO, for example, and you're unable to get the cast into the position that you want, rather than being able to bend the cast, you're going to end up taking a bunch of cuts and kind of approximating it. Or if we're talking about lordosis for a TLSO, you can't really do that shift to the cast. What you'll end up doing is just removing a bunch of material from the back and adding some more to the front, checking some circumferences and hoping it's all good. Steps like that are much easier done in CAD and with 3D printing. And then very topical right now, let's consider the fact that casts can carry germs. So that's a potential infection vector, whether it's the current state of the world with COVID, or any other germs that you may pick up while visiting a patient in the hospital in order to take the cast. And then I guess lastly in the top of my mind would be keeping records of previous work. It's a lot easier to do with scanned models and with a CAD system to be able to refer back not just to the last device, but the one before and the one before, but also to track the patient growth and the patient change in their distal limb, for example.
Okay. There's a lot of things we know that we gain from moving to a digital solution. So, we can talk about some of those. I mean, off the top of my head, I mean, any digital solution, you know, you're going to not have so much contact with the patient if you're doing a scan. you know, those scans are digital. They can be sent anywhere, anytime. And you don't have a shipping cost, and they're, you know, immediately there. And just having an ability to accurately quantify the modifications you're doing. You know, that's something we see with any digital solution. You know, there's modifications you can do in a CAD solution that you just can't do in plaster. So when we're talking about, you know, traditional CAD CAM, so thermoforming plastic over a foam mold, those are the kind of things that we've always known, and why Vorm's really been around for 30 years, is because more and more of the market is accepting and excelling with a digital solution. So what are some of the other things that we think of, you know, pros and cons, just looking at, you know, the traditional CAD-CAM, you know, thermoforming over a foam mold?
Yeah, so you've identified a couple important ones there. Scans can be sent anywhere and instantly. So that's super useful in sort of two primary areas, I find. One is doing any collaboration with somebody else. So if you're trying to do a study, or you've got a particularly hard case and you want to refer to a colleague who's got some particular experience, being able to have them look at the same patient on their screen in real time as you do the changes is infinitely valuable. The other side of it too is just depending on where your O&P clinic is at investment-wise with respect to your fabrication things. If you're using a central fabricator, being able to send a scan and have it arrive instantly rather than having to, you know, FedEx or UPS a box with a cast, which is going to take a few days or longer, depending on what you're willing to pay for it, and it may break in transit. Those are the sorts of things that you can eliminate by using a CAD system. From the quantifiable modification standpoint, as you mentioned, that's super useful, particularly when you're learning. There's a lot of people out here that have done this stuff for years and years and years, and they've got that feel, and they know with their hands what they need to do. The challenge for new people is they don't know yet. But when people are able to quantify what those measurements are, and how much various types of modifications can be, it can really sort of codify what needs to be done as the work. And it allows people to learn faster if somebody's willing to take the opportunity to record their skill set in a way that's usable by a CAD system. Of the options that we're talking about, thermoforming over plaster, thermoforming over a carved model or a 3D print, I would say the traditional CAD-CAM, plastic over a foam model, is probably the quickest, air quote, time to part, meaning from seeing the patient to fitting the patient. With plaster, you need to let things set, you need to, you know, do your mods. With the carving method, your biggest amount of time probably in generating the model is going to be the modifying in the computer or the carving, depending on the model. But of the customers that we've seen who really want to deliver sort of same day kind of stuff, like hospital delivery of TLSOs to get patients out, or even sockets, this has been the method that they've used. And it is quick, it is reliable, and to your point of Vorm being around for 30 years, it's not new technology by any stretch. Now that said, if we go into the cons of it, if you've never used CAD-CAM before and you've only worked with your hands, it may not be new technology, but it's going to be new technology to you. So certainly the con of it is going to be that, you know, you can't, well, it's not that you can't, but it will take a bit of time to learn. It's going to take time to get your skill level to the same place. If you've been brought up with the stuff, obviously that's a different situation. It's not by any means impossible for somebody to learn, but it is something that you just have to acknowledge going in, that the first device that you make using CAD-CAM is probably not going to be the best device you've ever made. Not saying it's bad, just that there is going to be a small learning curve, and you need to acknowledge that going in so that you're not surprised by it.
Okay. And then maybe just another thought that I have around anytime you're thermoforming plastic, there's a tendency, whether you're thermoforming over plaster or carved foam model, you know, you can have differences in the amount of, you know, the final device thickness just based on how tight you're pulling, how hot the material was. Loads of factors can affect a consistent result. And maybe that's something we can talk a little bit more about if we, you know, look at the 3D printing option. So let's maybe dive in on 3D printing and where the differences are there.
Sure. So yeah, let's start with what you were talking about there. It wasn't something I'd specifically mentioned, but you're absolutely right. When thermoforming, whether over plaster or with foam, you're going to get a fairly consistent inner surface of your device, but the overall device may have some inconsistencies as a function of the things that you mentioned, whether you're pulling harder or you've got the temperature a little bit hot. That can cause the plastic to flow differently, giving you slightly more flexible or stiffer zones of your part. Whereas with 3D printing, that's something that gets designed in. So when I print the same device twice, the consistency is going to be better. In addition to that, there's going to be another level of consistency, and that's with respect to the trim lines. If we look at the thermoforming option, yes, with thermoforming over a carved foam model, we've got the capacity in our software anyways to generate trim lines, which will put a small ridge on the device so that it's easier to find where to cut it out in order to ensure that you do have more consistent trim lines part after part. But with 3D printing, those will be built into the final shape. And that gives you the ability to create the same device identically time and time again. So a lot of the pros that we'll see with the 3D print option are going to be the same ones as with the traditional CAD/CAM. Scans can be sent anywhere instantly, easily quantifiable modifications. And that's just because we're doing the same thing. Whether using traditional CAD/CAM or 3D printing CAD/CAM, we're still using CAD/CAM. So all of those benefits from using that computerized system are going to be seen in both of those approaches. As we were talking about, with respect to trim lines and thicknesses, it's easier to repeat and make identical devices. Why might you want to do that? Certainly for testing, that's a handy thing. If you've got a patient who is particularly rough on their device and you know that they're probably going to break it by using it in ways that were unintended, you are then able to reproduce the identical device and you don't need to see them in again. And you don't need to waste space storing molds. Certainly one of the big draws for 3D printing is that you do have the possibility of making devices that are either impossible or impractical to make conventionally. Now, let's just start with some of the simpler things, which is building in attachment pieces. So if we're talking about a definitive socket, for example, you can build in stuff so that your vacuum parts will all just slide in together. And instead of having to have something that screws into the socket or having something that's extra to be molded over. There's also lots of really cool devices being made, particularly cosmetic devices like covers that have really kind of neat lattice structures inside, or with a, you know, a part number or a patient name where applicable built into it. Those are the sorts of things that are just not practical to do with conventional manufacture. And, you know, if you're concerned about the environment, and I know some of us out there are, there's certainly less waste than with sheet manufacture. There are certain cases where we need to build supports in for prints, but overall, the total sort of gram for gram amount of plastic used in a 3D printed device versus a thermoformed device is much less. Cons, yeah, same as with the traditional CAD/CAM, you've got a little bit more tech to learn in terms of the CAD part. The other piece is the materials for 3D printing, I would say, are a little bit more sensitive than the sheet materials that we're used to working with for traditional manufacture. So there's a little bit extra to learn there and to bear in mind with respect to your material storage protocols. With your sheet stuff, pretty much if you've got your sheets stashed away and they're not bending too much and they're kept out of the sunlight at a reasonable temperature, you're good. With the 3D printing filaments and some of the other materials as well, you're going to need to also throw in humidity as a concern about your storage protocols. Another con, not all the same materials are available. That's largely going to vary with the technology being used. The FDM style printers, because they work by basically melting the plastic, have a lot of the materials that you're already accustomed to working with. But if you take a resin type printer, for example, these materials are completely different. While they can try to mimic some of the properties, it's no longer the same material that you're used to working with. So it can involve some extra learning to determine what the material properties are and how you need to adjust your design to account for it. And certainly for some of the parts, the bigger ones in particular, like a TLSO, of these three options, you know, 3D printing is going to be the longest time to first part.
Okay, and what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is from the point that I have the patient walk in to the point that I'm fitting them with their device. It's just for the very large prints, the time to print is still quite long. It's something that's steadily been coming down and it's only going to get better. Right. But right now, if I were to sort of draw a graph, there's an optimal kind of size of part that is faster to print versus make with conventional manufacture. And right now that part is still not super big, but that line or that intersection is shifting and there's more and more things that become feasible to do with 3D printing as time moves forward.
Okay. Really, Jeff. When I'm thinking of sockets in particular, and I'm thinking of definitive sockets, lamination style sockets are still the ones that I kind of think of as being, you know, definitive as opposed to a thermoplastic. So where is 3D printing today relative to the kind of materials used for laminations and that kind of thing?
Sure. So, you know, pros, as with the other, or as with the 3D print with thermoplastics, you know, you've got more consistent options for redos because your trim lines are built in. So none of that stuff has to be done manually. The other side of things, you're not going to, I mean, it depends on how you're doing your laminated socket. But if we talk about a pre-preg layup, you tend to have bunching around the distal end. There's no need for that in a 3D print. We'll design in the thickness that we want, and then it will be what we set it to be. And then, of course, again, with 3D printing, we've got this possibility to have variable thickness. With pre-preg layups, that's not super practical. You're going to typically, you know, do your layup, and it is the thickness that you've decided it to be.
Okay. Any kind of cons in terms of 3D printing versus like a carbon fiber or a laminated socket?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said no. So how about I say yes?
okay. What is it?
Yeah. So certainly one of the cons is going to be not as strong as in the air quote Z direction. And by that, I mean, whatever the direction of the layers is. And the reason for that is, even with a nylon carbon fiber filament in a 3D printed model, those filaments are going to align with the path that the printer takes. And because it's being built in layers, it means that by default, a print straight off the machine that hasn't undergone any extra treatment is going to be weaker in that direction because we don't have we don't have the carbon fiber filaments crossing that space. So right. If you imagine as it's putting out the material, all of the fibers are aligning with the material in the direction that it travels. So it's kind of following this helical path from the bottom to the top. So it wants to, more so than in the other directions, the easiest way for it to break would be for it to break kind of like a slinky.
Right.
And then if we were to talk about, rather than pre-preg layups, if we're talking about a wet layup, you know, certainly the advantage on 3D printing over a wet layup is 3D printing is way cleaner, and you don't have to worry about mixing your quantities for your epoxy. So obviously, if you get that wrong, your part's going to be, you know, either not cure properly or be too weak or whatever the case.
Yeah. Really cool, Jeff. I think, you know, as usual, learned a ton of stuff, got a lot more detail than I had before this discussion. So really appreciate your time today and look forward to the next chat.
All right. Until next time. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to like, review, or share on whichever platform you're listening on. We build these episodes according to what we think you want to hear, so please do leave us some feedback by either leaving a comment or reaching out to us at info@forum.com. Until then, take care.